The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Phil Grimes, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, so this ESPN Plus story, I'm taking it as a positive. Again, just to restate it, I think it sort of proves this Patriots ethos, this thing, which is it's about the team and the collection of parts and how you play as a team. It's not about individual talent. This isn't track and field. So I take the story. You don't rate on this list of top players at 60 different facets of the game. And again, it's ESPN Plus. It gets behind the paywall unless you have this Fakakta app. I don't know how I have this. I have this. But it's the NFL's best at everything. The top 2019 players in 60 categories, 60, every position has several sub, they don't just rate the receivers. They rate the receivers by route. The best runner of screens at the wide receiver position is Chris Goodwin in Tampa Bay. The best wide receiver who runs out patterns is Chris Goodwin of Tampa Bay. The best route runner of the slant at the wide receiver position is Michael Thomas. On and on and on. Every position. They have the best run blocking guard, the best pass blocking guard, a million different categories. Okay. Well, 60. Not a million, 60. You only have one player that shows up, and that's Jonathan Jones. Only one of the 60. Your offensive line is also the least penalized offensive line in football. So that's mentioned. That's one of them. But the only player that mentions is Jonathan Jones, who is the best slot corner and the best man cover corner, according to their rankings. Okay? And again, I take it as a good thing. You don't necessarily, Maz.
I don't.
Why?
And I really apply it to the Patriots' defense more than anything. And I'm not telling you it means that they stink. I'm just telling you that this idea that the Patriots' defense is historic and is an all-time defense, I look at it and say, well, where are the Hall of Famers? Who are the truly, truly elite players on that defense? And I don't think they have them. And again, that doesn't mean they're bad. They're good. They're very good. But I think that that is the difference between being, you know, an all-time defense, the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, and being the best defense in the league now.
Okay, so I agree with that. Do you think that it's a sign that they're overrated, that their players really aren't that good?
It might be a sign that their defense is overrated, yeah. It might be. I want to see, again. So all the stuff you are rattling off on that list today, and I don't mean to make it sound that way, but all the stuff that you're reading
I'm rattling.
Yeah, from that. Prattling. The stuff that you're sharing from the list.
Laboriously, droning on about, yeah.
It is all stat-based.
Yes.
Okay, so Jonathan Jones is the best coverage guy.
Based
in
on
the slot.
Right.
Who's he played against?
Yeah, right.
Right? So you see what I'm getting at? Like, you know, again, if they were all going against the same competition, then it means something.
Well, so let me ask you this too, though. Okay, so here, let's play the game. I'm going to give you some categories. I'm going to tell you who they chose as the best in the league, and you tell me if the Patriots have a pretty good player at that category.
Okay, sure.
For example, best pass rushing edge defender. They have TJ Watt, Pittsburgh. He says there's a different Watt taking up the best pass rusher mantle in the NFL, and it's JJ's younger brother, TJ, who leads all the league's edge defenders in pass rush grade. So some of this is scouting, but some of it is stat-based. He already has eclipsed the pass rush triple-double and was the first to do it this season with 11 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, and 25 hurries. He's winning his pass rushes with ease and dominating all tackles in front of him. So the best pass rushing edge defender is TJ Watt. Who's the Patriots' best edge rushing pass defender?
Ooh, I mean, if you count him, Collins?
Yes. I think it's Collins.
Yeah. Again, but he's not, you know.
He's not pure edge, I understand.
Right. I'd say Collins.
And isn't he pretty good?
Yeah, he is good. He's having a hell of a year.
He's been great this year.
Yep, excellent. Yep.
So whether he grades as the best or not, I think you got one of those.
No question.
Okay. Best pass rushing interior defender in the league is Aaron Darnold.
Donald, Aaron Donald, the Rams. The Patriots have one of these?
No.
Not really.
No one close to that.
Probably Lawrence Guy.
They don't really. They had Trey Flowers last year. Michael Bennett was supposed to be the guy. They scheme pressure on the quarterback tremendously, but do they have that pure interior pass rusher?
No.
So they don't have that.
I mean, Adam Butler's having a good season, but he's nowhere close to, you know, someone like Aaron Donald.
Or what Michael Bennett was supposed to be.
Yeah. Correct.
Their best run-stopping edge defender is Eric Armstead, San Francisco 49ers. Armstead leads the league's edge defenders in run defense grade, as 8 of his 14 solo tackles have gone for defensive stops, 5 of which have held opponents to a loss or no gain. He also has a forced fumble. Who's their best run-stopping edge defender?
Probably Van Noy.
Yeah, Van Noy,
who's been really good.
Yeah. Excellent.
So whether he ranks first or not, you got a good guy there.
Absolutely.
Best run-stopping interior defender is Calais Campbell, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who's your best run-stopping interior defender?
Maybe Lawrence Guy.
Interior defender, not line?
Well, they say interior defender.
You mean Hightower?
I mean, Campbell's a lineman, right? Isn't Calais Campbell?
Yeah, so if you're talking lineman, I'd say, either Guy or Shelton, one of those two.
So
they're adequate.
That's where you're a little low.
So, I mean, Bedard loves himself some Lawrence Guy, but I don't know. They've been run on a little bit.
Yes. I mean, that is where they're most
vulnerable.
That's
their weaknesses.
Yeah, that is where they're most vulnerable.
The best pass rusher in the league off of stunts is Nick Bosa, 49ers. Who's your best pass rusher off of stunts? I think they're all sort of good at this. The games they play up there are really good.
Yeah, I would say the linebackers.
And I'd say Van Noy, actually.
Yeah.
Hightower's good at it, too.
The timing out sort of, you know, delaying and spinning around or stunting around someone. And I think Van Noy popped on this last year. He's got a really good instinct when he's attacking the backfield. Like, I think you're kind of all set there. Whether you've got the number one guy or not, you got a good guy there.
Winovich, too, you could make a case for.
Yeah, when they scheme, they're the best at scheming it. I mean, they you know, again, you can tell me Collins, Hightower. I'd take any of the linebackers in that one.
Best off-the-ball run defender is Eric Kendricks of the Minnesota Vikings. Who's your best off-the-ball run defender?
Chung?
Hightower?
Hightower.
Oh, Hightower. Absolutely. Yeah, Hightower. Hightower for sure. Yeah.
Hightower. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Beyond pretty good.
Excellent.
Best ball hawking cornerback they have is Jaire Alexander, Green Bay Packers. Who's your best ball hawker?
Might be Jones.
Right. Is Gilmore a ball hawk?
No.
I'd say no.
He's just great in coverage, but I mean,
it's trick or treat. You could even say J.C. Jackson. I mean, he goes after the ball.
Right,
a lot.
Right.
So I would say Gilmore to me is just positionally like sound. He's always there.
So they had the best slot corner is John Jones. So that's the only guy that showed up on this list was Jonathan Jones. Best box safety, they have Tyrann Mathieu. Mathieu of the
Chung.
So that'd be Pat Chung, but he's been banged up.
And he's not.
No, when he's right, he's good.
He's a good player, but I don't think he's elite.
I think he's great against the run.
Best deep safety in the league, they have is Minkah Fitzpatrick. Does McCourty compare?
Maybe not quite, but he's had a good year, and he's good at it. I mean, he sees the plays well from there, and he's where he's supposed to be. This year, he's made more plays than he has in the past. But I'm okay with McCourty there. I mean, again, I call McCourty sort of a classic B+.
So I am surprised that Gilmore hasn't rated in some of these places. Like they say, best defensive back outside the numbers. They say Marcus Peters, the strangler there, now with Baltimore. I mean, Stephon Gilmore's
better.
Elite.
Better.
I think he's better, too.
Yeah, and he's been good since he went to the Ravens. He was getting torched in L.A. It's one of the reasons they traded him.
So anyway, on and on. I mean, you read it. There's just a million and one categories, and you don't show up in any of them. So, again, I take it as a good thing. You get sensey about it, right? Tom in East Boston. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. Hi, Felga. It's Tom. I think the one guy who's missing from this list is Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Why?
Rasheed Wallace is also not there. A lot of Celtics missing from this list. Gabe Pruitt.
I don't get the joke. I want to keep him on to.
I think because when you thought, you know, that's maybe that guy that called last week.
Oh, when I stopped listening to him?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
You'd had to have been listening at a specific time last week or the week before to understand that joke.
That's way too inside.
Way too inside to the point where we're not even sure if that's what it was.
Well played, though.
Yeah, I guess. Doug in Hartford on the Malcolm Butler thing. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Quick question. And we're talking about Malcolm Butler not being able to play in the Super Bowl, you know, against the Eagles and stuff like that. But does anybody remember Belichick not playing LeGarrette Blount in the Super Bowl against the Giants? And I never heard anything or a reason why he sat out after having a spectacular playoff run.
In 2011?
I'd have to look.
Did he not play, He was dressed and didn't play?
I don't even know if he was dressed. I just remember him having a great playoffs run and not playing a lick in the Super Bowl.
LeGarrette Blunt, did he say?
Yes.
He wasn't on the team.
I was going to say, was he even on the team?
Wasn't it Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
I can't remember.
I'll look it up.
It was him and Danny Woodhead. Those were the running backs that year.
I'll look it up.
That's another one where if the call makes us more confused than we were to begin with, then you please, would you come on?
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Danny Woodhead had 7 carries. Benny had 10.
Mike and Woober never confuses us. What do you think of the Astros thing, Mike?
Didn't Bobby Thompson's home run come off of a stolen sign? Isn't that what the conjecture is now?
Not conjecture. They sort of proved it. We mentioned that earlier, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, this is sort of, you know, everybody says everybody does it. But, I mean, in baseball, literally, everybody does it. It's just the technology is better now than it is before. I don't know about how, you know, maybe Apple could come out with a new trash can so that when they steal the signs, don't have to bang on one. But, I mean, that was decidedly low tech. But doesn't some blame go on the other teams for not picking up somebody smashing cymbals together during every other pitch?
Yes, Mike. The culture of the game, I mean, it was so obvious what they were doing. When you see these videos of the, you know, the banging of the garbage can, you know, right before the pitch, Mike, thanks for the call. It's so obvious. Like, and, you know, Farquhar, the White Sox, steps off. He's like, guys, cut it out. My ketchup puts down a 2 when you start banging on a garbage can. I know what's going on. And nothing happens because everyone's doing their own sort of thing. And it's like it's so pervasive that no one calls the Astros on it. And that's a problem. You know, that's a problem for Manfred. If he does throw the book at the Astros, anyone else says, well, good God, what about them, and them? I mean, they're all doing something like this.
Okay, but like if you...
It's got to start somewhere because...
Exactly.
Never mind the competitive imbalance. It's slowing the freaking game down.
Yes, and it's like, this is sort of like the steroid thing. You say, well, everyone's doing it. And the commissioner says, everyone didn't fail a test. You did. We caught your ass. So stop using the aluminum bat on the trash can and maybe we won't catch you, you morons. Like, to me, it's sort of, again, one big ball of suck. You want to sit there and say the pitchers on the mound are stupid and they deserve to lose? Yep, I agree. I totally agree with that. The trash can thing has taken it to a new level.
Well, no.
Like, talk about being primitive.
The pitchers are, they knew it. Like, I think the one clip that we, you know, we played and we've all seen where Springer gets the bang right before the off-speed pitch from that pitcher and the pitcher throws his head up. When the pitcher threw his head up, I think the pitcher was throwing his head up to say, oh, my God, that was so obvious. Would you, you know... With the banging of the garbage can, like, oh, God, they got it, obviously. Like, so annoying. But the pitcher doesn't say anything because his wrist is loaded with pine tar. And if he says anything, then they say, hey, well, what's in your back pocket there, pal, or on the brim of your hat? And it's like everyone's got their own little cheat in baseball. It's so pervasive and accepted that no one calls each other on anything.
Yeah, the sign stealing on pitches, though, if it gets that prevalent.
Blatant.
Yeah, and again, but to me, if it's happening with such frequency that, like, literally every pitch, you watch some of these at-bats that this one guy highlighted on Twitter. I mean, if you know what's coming, what's the point of the at-bat?
Quick break. Back with more after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Mm-hmm. Back to your calls as promised. Connor is in Lexington. He's been waiting patiently to talk Patriots. Connor, sorry for leaving you on the line. Thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
No, not a problem. So I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think about it. Edelman, as you know, I know he hasn't been completely healthy, but he's been doing a lot of very uncharacteristic, un-Edelman things and dropping a couple passes that he normally wouldn't drop, and that fumble against Baltimore pretty much cemented it for me. But I feel like I want to compare it to Welker in his last couple, in the latter parts of his season with New England, and I want to hear what you guys think about that.
I think it's a fair comparison.
It's actually a good observation.
I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened sooner to the guy, Connor. Thanks for the call. I mean, the history at all football positions, but that little slot guy, I mean, Wayne Corbett, Wes, Troy was not the same guy by the end. I mean, you get the crap kicked out of you in there.
You do. You get killed. And again, you get punch drunk.
And you get – so the drops and that – I mean, it's got to be adding up for Julian Edelman.
No,
it has to be.
No question. Now, look, I'll still take him. I mean, like,
Of course.
They
need the next guy, though.
They do, which is why I'm surprised they haven't safeguarded themselves here a little bit better than they have.
By the end of Wes Welker, Edelman was there, and he was sort of, apprenticing, and he was the next guy. He was sort of in line. Who's the next guy here?
I don't know.
They wanted to be Braxton Berrios. Does Jacoby Myers, I like him, but is he as shifty as he needs to be?
No, he's different.
He's longer.
Yeah, he's different. I don't know. Olszewski?
Yeah. Someone like this.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
so again, now he's really small. So now look, I don't know. Maybe he can pull it off. Maybe that's what they're thinking. But, it's a tough one to fill. And even so, I feel like they're late.
See, I love those guys.
It should have been Hunter Renfrow, your guy out of Clemson.
Oh, my gosh, I love him.
Been doing a hell of a job for the Raiders.
I love him.
I love that position.
He's a fifth rounder, too, I think.
Yep.
Randall Cobb was that guy in Green Bay. Like, I love that position. That's just easy money. The slot receiver who can go up against linebackers and, get open on that left is just such easy money. And if you can do it, you are so far ahead of everybody else. And I love that spot. And I would hate to think that they'd never not have that spot. So who's the next guy?
So on the list you were going through from that ESPN story.
Yeah, just trying to look it up right now.
Keep no, going. So those best routes, recently, I think, didn't Jerry Rice say that he thought Julian Edelman had the best footwork in the league? Like, I thought I saw that somewhere. Maybe I'm missing, I'm pretty sure Jerry Rice said, I'll take Edelman's footwork over anybody.
So according to this ESPN Plus story, the best slot wide receiver in the league is Tyler Lockett, Seattle Seahawks.
Who's really good. I mean, he's good.
Is he pure slot?
No, I would say no. I mean, I think they move him around a lot.
So he has seen more than 70% of his targets from the slot. So that's not to say 100%, right?
Yeah, he moves around a lot, and he's got speed. I mean, he's a big play guy, too. He's a good player. The only thing he doesn't really have is size. But, I look at Edelman, and I'll say, okay, like, I think of it, and this story is interesting because it really specializes in patterns and coverages and rushes and all of that. But if you were to say to me, 3rd and 5, which quarterback receiver tandem in the league do you like the best to get the first down? I mean, near the top of my list, if not at the top, are Brady Edelman and Brady White.
Yeah, right.
I'll take those guys every time, because I believe that they're going to get the job done.
Okay, here's Jim in. I'm sorry, this is Jim in the car on the whole Malcolm Butler Super Bowl and that thing. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey guys, yeah, I was just basically talking regarding the Patriots losing and self-inflicted losses in playoffs. And regarding that, which is mitigated and which isn't. I think the Patriots were mitigated by winning the following year. However, I will not emotionally invest in the Bruins for losing to the Noel Picard Blues last year, bringing them, everything was laid out. They went to 7 games.
Jim, let me ask you, if the Bruins win it all this year, you're still going to feel the same way?
It's going to be harder. Yeah. I mean, I still go back to this.
I'm not.
To the 71 Bruins. Now, I mean, the 7 men on the ice.
Hold on. No. Well, that's 79. 71 was Dryden. So you're still smarting from Ken Dryden shutting you down in 71?
Yeah, because that team went on a roll. And
Talk about not forgetting. I'm sorry to cut you off, but boy, that is holding a grudge.
Oh, I'm telling you, I get an elephant's memory when it comes to this stuff. I do. It doesn't go away. And so mitigate, yes. Mitigate is to lessen.
Let me tell you the Patriot. I mean,
does it lessen? Yes, but it doesn't go away.
The Bruins. If the Bruins win it all this year, I forget about last year's Game 7, and let me tell you why. Because you're not winning this year without having lost Game 7. I just believe this, that it's going to be the motivate. If you get in this position, and I'm not even sure, you know, if you can't hold 4-goal leads against Florida, I don't like your chances of doing much. So I'm just saying, this isn't saying you're going to be here. But if you get there, and you come through this year, and you win it this year, I'm going to think one of the reasons is the way last year ended and how you were motivated by that. And I do not think that you would have won 2 in a row independent of that. So to me, winning in 2020 wipes out 2019's loss. It would for me, because I know you're not winning 2 in a row back to back. The only reason you got back in 20 is because you lost in 19, just like the 2003-04 Red Sox. You think you were going back to back there? The answer is no. So the Grady Little 03 mistake is totally sort of washed away. It is.
Okay, so again, from a practical timeline standpoint, what you're saying makes sense. What I'm saying is the emotions that you felt in that loss, they don't die. They don't die.
No,
they don't.
No, they don't. You know what it really comes down to? Mike, you're a more well-adjusted person when it comes to this kind of thing than Tony and I.
But hold on.
The emotions don't die, Mike. They get buried. They don't die.
The Malcolm Butler's different because the Patriots could have won both years because that's just what they do. The Red Sox were not going back-to-back in 03 and 04. I'm sorry, they weren't. They would have had a hangover in 04 and they wouldn't have won, just like what happened in 05. Okay? And the Bruins aren't good enough to go back. They're just not that kind of team. I'm sorry. Don't tell me you have the same soreness for Grady Little after 04 happened. You don't.
No. I said mitigate. I agreed on the mitigate part.
It lessens. It doesn't go away, though.
It lessens.
You know, yeah. But you're making it sound like, oh, you forget it, you move on.
If the Bruins were to win this year, my first reaction wouldn't be like, yeah. It'd be like, yeah, it should be back-to-back, you a-hole.
See, and I'm just telling you, do you realistically think they would have been a back-to-back team?
No, but that's very practical.
They completely blew that last year, yes.
They did.
If they win it this year, it should be 2 in a row.
No.
This is the only way I can explain it to
They're
you.
They're not a 2 in a row kind of team.
This no, because you have your whole even-Steven thing, like, well, everything evens out. You are what you're supposed to be. This is
No.
Teams leave it on the table sometimes. The Bruins did last year. The Patriots did against the Eagles.
And sometimes a loss motivates you the next year.
No question.
And you're not winning the next year unless you had lost the year before.
I mean, I firmly believe the 2011 Bruins don't win without 2010.
Exactly. And that wiped that thing away. I mean,
okay, I believe all that. That, you know, you have to suffer
sometimes. Believe me, I'll still rip Rask over it, though, but it sort of wiped it away.
Yeah, you have to suffer sometimes in order to grow. I get it. I'm just telling you that, and this is the only way I can put it to you. I now know the Red Sox have won 4 World Series. If I sit down and I watch 03, the last 3 innings again, and Grady Little, I will watch and go, you effing a-hole. I can't believe you left this guy in the game.
Didn't he and McAdam, though, actually endorse it, Stu?
At the time?
At the time, 100%, yeah.
I did. I understood it. I thought. And then I went back and I said, I was too close to this, for crying out loud. If I were to watch it now, I would say, you stupid moron. How do you leave him in that game when he's getting roped all over the place like this? Like, because I was a Pedro guy, too. I was like, ride it out with Pedro. Don't bring in those a-holes. I don't, you know, again, Tim Lynn, Embry, and then Williamson, they were all pitching well that postseason. See, again.
So, again, you recall like it.
It all comes back.
Ken Dryden in 71.
So, I'm just telling you, it's all there. It just gets buried. It gets pushed down. You grow. It's like the inner ring of a tree. It gets, you know, it stays in there. I'm serious.
Yeah. No, Maz, preach.
It stays in there. But if you pierce it, there's still a nerve there. It still hurts.
Okay. Well, let's pierce it then. Let's touch it, shall we? Here's Murray's update. Then we're back.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not $10,000 or $12,000. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special event disclosures for full details.
You're listening to Phil.
doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm telling you, if the Bruins won it this year, I would never even think of that Blues game again. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't think of Marchand peeling off the ice and letting Pietrangelo score?
If I wanted to get at the little fella, yes, I would use it against him. But in like my little fanboy thing, it would go away.
Yeah, so listen, I get, I understand like when you're rational and you're sort of calm, you think about it and you look at the big picture and you say, they went to 4 cups, they went 2-2, if that's how it turns out. Mm-hmm. Hey, not bad. Hockey's a tough one to win. Well, pretty good.
And they're really not much better than that.
Right.
I mean, what do I think they are? The 70s Islanders or Oilers? Like, they're not that team.
Right. And to get to 4 cups, would say that's pretty damn good.
I'd say pretty good.
Absolutely. No question about it. I'm just telling you, when you relive those moments, oh, you still get pissed. I do. Like, Marchand leaving the ice on that play, and that one's still relatively fresh. Holy crap, how do you do that? How do you do that?
Yeah, you just did it again the other night.
The cup's in the building. How do you choke it away like that?
I'm with you. And then he did it again. He didn't leave the ice, but he peeled away from the play the other night. But if they win this year?
Yeah, in the big picture,
and
sure.
If they win this year because they lost last year, then it's a wash. It really is, because they wouldn't have gotten back without having lost the year before. Like, again, you do believe in that. You know, unless you're this amazing. So that's why the Patriots thing is a little different. Because the Patriots are so good. They do go every other year. Losing the Malcolm Butler game, you do have a right to say it really could have been 7, not 6. Except if you do want to play this game then, folks, I could say,
should have lost the Seattle one.
Well, if Pete Carroll just hands off, and then you would say, well, if Wes Welker just catches the ball, and then I say, well, if Kyle Shanahan just kicked the field goal, and then you say, well,
ifs and buts.
If David Tyree, and then I say, if Walt Coleman actually saw that tuck rule a little differently. I mean, that was a bang bang play. I think he got it right, but it was a close call. And, so we play the if, but, you got 6, that's what you should have. The Bruins have 1. If they won 2, that's all they should have. I do think it evens out. I do.
No, listen, the most extraordinary thing about the Patriots' run, and this speaks to Belichick and Brady and anyone else that has been there for any length of time, is the fact that they just keep going. It's the pure longevity of it, the resiliency of it. Most people win and they say, that's it, I got my ring, I'm happy, and I walk away. And these guys just keep going.
I mean, given how that Super Bowl 52 played out, any other team would be in ruins.
You got to tell me what game that is. I don't keep track of the numbers.
Me neither.
The Eagles won.
The Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, this team, any other team would be in complete ruin.
Chaos. There'd be, again, the players would have revolted over, what Bill did to Malcolm Butler and how that game played out. The players would have revolted.
It happened. It's hard enough when you play well and lose. And there is no, singular controversial thing. Again, the Rams, what are they now, 5-5, right?
Yeah.
They were 3-0.
Would it surprise you if we never hear from them again?
Nope.
No, not at all.
I mean, we might never hear from them again.
No, I think McVay and his tight pants, like, I feel like that thing is just, I feel like that's been exposed. Like, he's wearing them so tight you can see right through him.
Okay, let's wrap it up with your phone calls. Matt in North Carolina on the Astros. Yes, Matt.
What's up, Maz? I just wanted to call out Verlander as a fraud. Back in the All-Star break, he's calling Manfred about the balls being juiced.
Oh, great point.
And on the other hand, his team's, putting a camera out in center field, stealing signs. I'm just calling for a one-year ban from the postseason for next year. That's what I think the punishment should be.
No shot.
Never going to happen.
No shot. Again, it's not college sports, where the athletes flow through every 3 years.
But can you suspend A.J. Hinch for the first month?
Maybe more.
As a shot across the bow to the entire league? Enough, we're not going to do this anymore?
Yes.
And so that I would do, but let's be realistic. They're not going to take away the title, and they're not going to suspend people for the postseason.
And no, they're not going to do that. I mean, again, you're talking about now penalizing people that had nothing to do with it. If you do that, there are going to be new players on this Astros team that are going, wait a minute, why am I getting penalized for this? So you're not going to see anything that sweeping. Apples to apples, or as much as we can. Go back to Spygate. When the whole thing happened, the Patriots were worried that Belichick might get popped for the year. Right, that was the whole Don Capers thing, right?
Well, but that came back in with the Deflategate too, because that's why they dumped it in Brady's lap.
Absolutely,
because if Bill got caught again, he was gone for the year.
Right. So I'm just saying, as it relates to AJ Hinch, if MLB finds out that this has been going on for 3 years, that they've had piles of complaints, and that somewhere along the line they said to the Astros, "Hey, we're getting a lot of calls about you guys. Cut the crap." And they did it anyway.
And he still, right, that's what made that so bad. The memos that Bill kept getting.
Okay.
He kept ignoring them.
Because I'm willing to bet some level of that went on.
Sure.
There were so many people complaining about the Astros that some level of that had to exist. AJ Hinch, top of the list. If they popped him for a year, would you be shocked?
No.
No, so like that I get, like a full year. Yeah, just the postseason makes no sense to me. But could you pop him for a year? I'd be stunned. It wouldn't bother me one bit.
Now, again, I'd be surprised if it was that long, but you know what? I'd be okay with that. I think you could justify that.
Yeah, and if he does, then they got to look at his right-hand man that year, too.
Again, so again, Cora was the bench coach in 2017, and does he get one, especially if the Red Sox have been busted, which they have,
yep.
Although that was pre-Cora. But nonetheless, like, I mean, all types of possibilities. The commissioner's got to hit hard here. He's got to hit hard.
DD's in Wintonsville. Hi, DD.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I got a cure for the whole cheating thing in baseball. Okay, here's what we do: let some bimbo that's sitting on the bench call in the calls to both the catcher and the pitcher, and never mind letting the catcher doing something that can be detected by the other team. Let somebody, just like we do in football. You know, on offense, you know, the guy's got his mouth covered and he's calling in the signals.
Right, some bimbo.
I thought he meant like Morgana, the kissing bandit.
I don't know why we needed to bring a bimbo into it, but
I thought you were going to say have them behind the plate flashing again.
But I think he meant just some guy. So just call everything from the bench and do it through audio.
You could. I don't like that.
That's not the issue. The pitcher and the catcher are calling the game. That's how, you know, I'm not expecting now the bench coach to call pitch to pitch.
No, and the other thing is I think there are catchers that are good at picking up little things during the game that can get guys out.
Yeah.
So if a guy moves in the box, you know, you get him out with a breaking ball the first time, so he moves up in the box. A good catcher notices it.
All I'm saying is you can eliminate this whole problem. The whole thing, the both problems, which is cheating and, you know, winning games you shouldn't win, which is huge. And then the whole pace of play, which is just as important, really, in that sport. It's just these four-hour postseason games because everyone's playing spy versus spy. You eliminate the whole thing by make it an I can't spit the words out. I never can. Electronic communication between the catcher and the pitcher. And again, I'm going to leave it up to you geeks to figure out exactly what that is. An earbud, a mouthpiece, a Morse code. Now, when I say Morse code, it's like, you know, just a little tapper, little thing that just buzzes the guy.
Yeah, you get electrodes on your butt cheeks.
Whatever. Like, just come up with something. The technology is amazing. You all can play with your toys and your gadgets and come up with just the perfect thing. And eliminate all the hand signals, all the one, the two, so it eliminates everything. It eliminates sign stealing. It eliminates the game slowing down every time there's someone on second base. It eliminates this whole thing in the postseason where every pitch is spy versus spy, World War III, and guys banging on garbage cans and cameras in center field and this whole nonsense. It wipes the whole thing off the table. So just do it. Figure it out.
Oh, listen, I think baseball is headed to some sort of major reform here on the field and off in the next, like, 2 years. And you're going to see some of it this offseason. Remember, next spring, the rule goes into effect about the minimum three batter rule.
That's right. That's next year, right?
Right. So that goes into effect. I think you're going to see a lot of changes in the next couple of years.
John and Braintree on the Patriots. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm a little worried about the Patriots' schedule the next couple of games. I'm like, I think they're going to beat the Eagles. But Dallas's defensive line with the Patriots' offensive line issues, DeMarcus Lawrence, Quinn, Bennett, Van Der Esch, the young, I can't think of his name, but they can give the Patriots' offensive line problems. And I think Kansas City's going to give the Patriots problems too because they can score and the Patriots cannot right now. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
Okay, I think you'll be able to score against Kansas City because their defense is putrid. But it's a real stretch. A month of real nice tests where you'll really know and have a good feel for what you really are after this month.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really the only way to put it. Like, we're going to get an idea as to who they really are.
It's good.
It is good. It's just, it's not even that the schedule at the beginning of the year was soft. It was as soft as it could be. Again, you got literally the worst teams in the league. You got Miami.
Some of them twice.
Oh, my gosh. The Jets twice. You know, Miami early on when they were horrible. Like, you go right down the list. Cleveland played like garbage when they came in here, and that was one of the closer games. You know, the Giants, the Redskins, absolute dog food.
Ed and Whitman, what do you think?
Hey, I just wanted to call about the Astros thing. Whatever they're penalized for, I just want them to be penalized for stupidity. The fact that Tip Can with bat was the best idea that they could come up for. It's like a step down from the coach going on the field and saying, Altuve,
right.
Altuve, the camera says a slider's coming next.
It's so true. It's so obvious, especially when you see some of these videos. It's like,
the sound is so obvious. It sounds like you ever see Blue Man Group? It sounds like that's happening at a baseball game.
Good one, Murray.
And it's like, only when the Astros are up and only when they're throwing off speed pitches. Like, how long should that take to figure out if you're the other team?
Not very long. I mean, like 2 seconds.
Like, come on.
And again, you know, like you say off speed. Yeah, but what if it's a slider instead of a changeup? I would tell you.
Fast law is all they need.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is most pitchers have two primary pitches. You know, fastball and something else. So you know what the first choice is and you know what to look for.
Yeah, and even as some of the videos showed, even if it's just for you to lay off. You just lay off because when it comes out of his hand, it looks like a strike, but you know it won't be because it's off speed.
Absolutely.
And so you just wait for the fastball. You wait till you don't hear the bang.
Exactly. I mean, it really does mean that you know every pitch. You know every pitch. And hitting gets a hell of a lot easier when that happens. Your percentages probably go up by 100. You know, you go from 250 or 10, you know, 250 to 350.
Okay, so all that's in the books. Thus concludes the calling portion of today's program. Coming up next is the final word. Stay tuned for it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free service. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nope.
All right, some baseball talk, but with the Astros cheating today. And with that came Maz telling a story about baseball storage, which then led to when hosts aren't listening.
Uh-oh.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I got another one for you if you want to hear it.
Sure.
My understanding is that baseball's starting to look into some of the ways balls are stored before games, and that humidors might now be a thing in every ballpark. So again, some teams did it, some teams didn't. You know, in Colorado,
moisten the balls.
Right.
Moist balls.
Moisten them up.
They're heavier.
Lubricate.
So the whole thing, they would moisten the balls in Colorado and Arizona, places like this, because of altitude, they would dry them out, and you know, they'd be like golf balls. They'd go farther. So baseball, Major League Baseball, would moisten them up.
Correct.
To deaden them.
Apparently Arizona is a bad place for that, too.
Right, as I just said, Colorado and Arizona.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear.
Sorry. It's all right.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
I get a very high level of concentration over here. When something goes into my mind, my ears don't work.
Classic case. We're stuck on the moist balls. Go!
A little bit more baseball knowledge from Maz as he's breaking down some pitch knowledge for that ass.
Okay, so to me, the transgressions are different. Like the cork bat thing doesn't bother me as much as some of the other stuff because you still have to hit it. Like, and I'm not, I understand the ball will go farther, but if you suck as a hitter, you can cork the bat all you want. You're not going to hit the effing thing. But Mike, knowing what pitch is coming, ooh, that's a big one. That's the whole game, for crying out loud. The whole game is get in the box. I'm not going to tell you what I'm throwing. You see if you can hit it. That's the whole game. If you know what the pitch is, what's the point?
I can't stand, it's like it just ruins it for me.
I mean, that is the equivalent of the defense knowing run or pass.
You should be yelling that outside Cooperstown, Mass.
That's the whole game. It is. It's the whole game.
That's the whole game, right?
I'm going to throw something up there, but I'm not going to tell you how hard or which way it's going to turn, and you have to try to hit it. Sound good? Yeah, but what are you throwing? Oh, well, that sort of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, we'll throw this in as a request from Maz, because you had this in the email chain late. We didn't talk any basketball today. Celtics win over the Wizards last night, so we didn't hear from Luke in Vermont. But he did call the midday show, Zolak and Bertrand.
Did you hear this?
No.
This transpired.
Oh, Luke in Vermont. What do you got, Luke?
Dan, yes. I know what you're saying about the talent. I never believed in the Isaiah Thomas Celtics real contender. Yep.
Do you get annoyed with Jim Murray faking your voice and doing you and imitating you?
No, I think it's pretty funny.
I think it's hysterical.
Yourself, what the hell?
I think it's hysterical.
Yeah, me too.
Because you do have that type of delivery, like Kevin from The Office.
Well, that was more like Forrest Gump.
Right. No! Kevin from the... Hi, I'm Kevin.
All right, Luke.
Yeah. What do you got, Luke?
Okay. I was never into the Isaiah Thomas, the Bridges, and I was a big-time Kyrie guy. I really was probably the last one to throw in the towel on that team last year because of the talent. But this is not the Bridges. These guys are borderline stars, and that's why I think it can work. You can't have three all-stars around LeBron James because he's too good of a player. But I think if you have four A-minus stars, they can all come together and be
that's
a
what you got.
Contender.
Okay. That's what you have.
All right, Luke. All right, Luke. I am with you in being one of the last Kyrie holdouts because I love the talent, but I'm not about to call this team chock full of A-minus players, number one. And number two,
I think you can call them.
Why can't they be a bridgey team? If not a bridge team, they're bridgey and still be successful. Okay. You're talking like a 5-year-old.
I want to see the tallest guy.
Oh, okay.
I'll be like Green Mountain Luke. Bring the big guy in. Right. 7'6".
Show me the tall one.
He hit his head on the door. He had a concussion because he hit his head on the ceiling.
Poor Luke.
Matt, all you talk about with the great shooters in the league, like Steph Curry and Trae Young and Damian Lillard, but you're not giving credit to Marcus Smart. Now he's shooting 40%, and that is going to be sustainable going forward. So don't talk about those guys.
I like Murray's better.
Oh, of course it's better. And at least we let Luke call up and talk some basketball. It's what he wants to do. And Zoe goes right to the freaking, you know, clown show. Let the guy.
Which way did he go?
Let the guy talk some basketball, would you please? It's important to him.
Which way did he go, George?
No. You remember that old the eagle, the bald eagle from.
No. But they're still the best team in the NBA. You have to look at the 9-1 record, Mets. When are you going to give them credit? No.
And he hit his head on the door.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not $10,000 or $12,000. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special event disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.